This is the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Good morning, Andrew Zimmel, hanging out with you on Saturday for the Giants Sports Show. And I'll tell you, man, probably one of the most fun Saturday morning shows we got for you because we're coming off of one of the best games. And I think that, let's call it the last 10 years, do you think, Coach? Head Coach Jeff Roth in with me talking about a 97-94 double overtime win against Grand Forks Central. I had more fun last night calling that game, and I think it's because Wobbin won that game than I have at a high school basketball game in a long, long time, Coach.
I don't know about 10 years.
You don't think 10 years? Maybe.
You know, 2012, we beat Bismarck on a three-pointer at the buzzer at the state tournament. That was kind of cool.
I would say so.
You know, but yeah. Last night was one of the best high school games in our gym, you know, in a long time. You know, offensively for us, I think we shot it as well as we have all year. You know, and that, maybe we throw out the horse game, the first game, because that was all layups. You know, we shot 50% from the game, or 66% from three. We shot 268 free throws. And, you know, I mean, it was a good offensive output. We scored 33 in the first half, 44 in the second, and we get 20 in overtimes. And, you know, I think offensively it's probably one of our better showings. I think some kids, especially some young kids, you know, we're talking about Braden and Trayton, were in some big, big, big moments, and I think some difficult moments, and I think maybe at times maybe doubt themselves a little bit, but then you look at Trey, he goes 3-for-4 in the overtimes from the free throw line, where, you know, I think earlier in the game he was stepping the line hoping he'd hit something, you know. Really had a bit of a struggle, you know. His first, you know, what did he shoot? 7-for-10? No. 7-for-14. So he was 4-for-10 at one point in the game, but he makes 3 out of his last 4. I mean, that's
when they matter most.
When they matter most, and that's when you get even tighter. And you know, the kid came through for us. I thought. You know, we're running plays to put the ball in his and Braden's hands, and you know, we got the options we wanted. You know, I think we've talked about moving Caden into that spot and letting Braden play the point. And I don't know if Braden makes the pass to Ethan inside that we needed on that, you know, in that isolation play. And you know, I thought we had the kids right where we needed them to be, and it was a matter of those guys making plays and getting to the free throw line. And what a big win for our kids, and what a confidence booster. You know, it doesn't get any easier. I mean, we just play another team that's in the top half of the league, but I think just a good booster for us to close out a win, and a win where we. You know, geez, we had 7-0 to start, you know, instead of down 15-0 like normal. You know, and then they come right back and it's 7-7. But I thought our kids really, you know, they just stuck with it. They knew what they had to do. They knew that the Wilbur boys are going to make some shots, and they knew that pay was going to be a problem. And I think they just stuck with the game plan, you know, and you know, is the game plan we talked off the air, does the game plan work? You know, well, if it works, we don't give up 94 points, maybe. Pay doesn't go for 23 and 17 rebounds. But some pieces of that plan did work. And you know, I don't know. I don't really care if the plan works. I just like to see us win at the end of the game. And that's what it's about, and about kids making plays.
Game plan works. If you win the game, you won the game, game plan works. If I would have told you in August that you would be running plays for Steffens and Malk, what have you said to me, like, what happened to Kappas and Hawker? What, did these guys both get a growth spurt? How surprised are you that this, we're not late in the season, but yeah, we kind of are. We're late in the season. We're running plays for underclassmen. You must feel pretty good about that, or how do you feel?
Well, I do. I think they bring a different thing to the table. You know, their dribble penetration is what they bring to us. And, you know, without them, it's really all it is Kappus. He's the only one. And we need him to do what he's doing, but we need those other scoring options. And the ability of Trey and Braden to not only get their own bucket, but to find the guy they're supposed to find when they do too. And, you know, I thought we were really good at that last night. You know, we had lots of opportunities. We had some layups where we were just right by guys, but we just didn't finish. You know, I think we had one late in regulation where we put that in, we're going to win. But you know, on the other hand, you got to be in those situations to win those situations, and I think it's big. What have I predicted it back then? Maybe Trey. You know, I thought Trayton was going to probably play. I didn't know about Braden. You know, could you tell we won or lost, or he missed or made a shot? I mean, when you look at him, you can't tell. He just plays. You know, I love that about him because he's got there's something going on inside, but his face doesn't show it. He's just doing what he does, and I thought he was great last night. I thought Trey was too, you know. But when it came down to it, it was our seniors. You know, it was Ethan. I mean, he asserted himself offensively last night like we haven't seen maybe all year. We've seen spurts of it, but 35 points, 13 rebounds. 15 of 20 from the free throw line.
That's the biggest one. Circle that, underline that, highlight it.
You know, he's not the greatest free throw shooter, but 15 of 20, that's dang good shooting.
You know, that's the difference between a win and a loss, Coach.
It is. It really is. You know, and I think when we look at what are we going to do with Pay when he gets down low, we're going to foul him. You know, and he's 3 for 9 from the free throw line. He had a fantastic game too. He's 3 for 9. That's 33%. Ethan was 75%. 10 of 15 from the field. I mean, 2 assists, had a steal, added to his block record. I mean, just a great stat line, a stuffed stat line. And then Caden Hockert, you know, he had 27, 5 of 6 threes. You know, we have to have that. You know, everybody has to do their thing, and I think, you know, sometimes you give a pass on a three-point shooter. Well, I don't. That's your job. You don't do it. Ethan's supposed to make a shot inside, and Caden's supposed to make a three, and that's how it is. And you know, I think Caden had a couple rough ones, had a rough night on Tuesday at North. But you know what? Comes in and shoots and gets a little confidence back, makes about 70% on the gun the other day, and then comes in and, you know, 5 of 6, and What more do you want from a kid, you know? And he had some, I think, tough jumpers in the lane. That's not his game, really, you know. But he's willing to go and take that shot. And, you know, 27 points, 5 of 6 from three. You know, just another good line from Caden. That's what he has to do. And I thought did a nice job on Cole Wilbur. You know, he had 13 points, but I thought Caden really did a nice job on
him. So you had him playing defense on Cole pretty much three-quarters court all the way up. Was that something that came into the game plan saying, all right, Caden, this is tonight you are going to be playing tight defense? Because I don't think I'd seen that before, him playing full-court defense on the other team's guard.
Well, I often wonder, you know, I think he's somewhat disinterested in defense at times.
Well, we all are sometimes.
But that was his deal. He got up and... You know, he said I was just right in his face the whole time. And he said I wanted him to know where I was going to be. And he said after the, you know, if whoever was at the line shot the first one, he said when it was time to shoot the second, I got closer to him. And I think he, you know, just a bit of a mindset thing. You know, they're both fantastic shooters. And they can get a three, you know, with you on them. And I think he just had to take it upon himself to do what he had to do to get himself ready to do that. And I thought it was awesome.
I agree. I want to talk about Kappus' defense, though, because I didn't have him for any fouls. Did you have him for a foul?
Never fouled in the night.
How is that possible? Because I look at everybody else on the court. Everybody, I think, had at least one except Kappus. And he also kept, I want to say, the player that he was on defending, Ross Wilbur, I think he held him to under 10 points.
Yeah.
Had 9 points. That is just like a masterclass on defense. That's something that Trayden Malik is going to be watching on film next year, being like, how do I do that? Because I think Malk is that next guy coming up.
You know, I think the matchups down the stretch changed, you know, with Caden had to go to Simmers just because of how strong of a driver he is. But you know what? He didn't foul him either. I mean, he's a defender. He can keep kids out of the lane. He gets a hand up. He does all the things that if you're just watching the points and the rebounds and the dunks and whatever, you don't even know he's in the game. But we know he is. And he goes 1 for 2 from three. I mean, fantastic. For him to knock down a three for us is big because, you know, he can, but he just doesn't take a lot of shots. But getting in the lane, some of his jumpers in the lane where he got by and little Kobe move and pull up and shoot a jumper, that's the next step. And what we were looking for him, you know, the last year and the year before, even when he was a sophomore playing a rotation spot, that's the development. That's his piece that he brought to the table. 7 of 10 from the line, 6 boards, 4 assists, 1 turnover.
Mm.
No fouls, 14 points. I mean, that's another tough stat line from, and those three seniors really, I mean, they were fantastic last night.
I think I talked to you last year about Caden's shooting because I said, is it a confidence thing? What do we got going on here? It's not a confidence thing because every time that there's 2 seconds on the shot clock, he's willing to pull the trigger and it goes in a majority of the time.
Yep.
I don't think. We saw a couple kids for Grand Forks last night who hit big shots down the stretch, no fear. And I think that Caden is in that vein, too, that there's just absolutely, if a shot needs to be made, I want the ball in his hands.
Right. You know, there's no limitations on what we tell them what we expect from them, what their role is, what they do. I mean, that's his thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not telling him you can't shoot it until Ethan touches it or until Caden touches it or whatever. I mean, we're running offense, and he knows what he's supposed to do. And when we get down to 10 on the shot clock, it's probably going to be up to him because some guy's going to glom onto Hockert on the perimeter, and some guy's going to glom onto Ethan in the post, and it's going to be up to him to go get a shot. And the kid can do it. I mean, he can do it. He can rise up over the top, and especially maybe, you know, with those two guys, Wilbur and the two Wilbur boys, where he's a little bigger than them, he can rise up and get a shot over them. And I think he's been fantastic. He's just, there are times when he's been really, really good at that, and last night was one of those times.
A 97-94 double overtime win in Wabanon last night, one of the best games of the season for the Huskies. Now, a game on Tuesday night against North, they came here, went to overtime, played them tight. On Tuesday night, it was a similar story, same outcome. A loss to the Spartans. North is, I think, kind of asserted themselves as the number two team in the EDC. Yeah. Everybody's kind of glommed together between 3 and 12. Well, let's rephrase that. Between 3 and 8, I think everybody's kind of glommed together here. What are some good things you took out of the Tuesday loss to North?
Well, I think, number one, we played through their runs, which they're going to have. I mean, we had back-to-back turnovers on the wing where then Sam went and tried to destroy the rim. But it's just 2 points. I mean, if you get caught up in all that hype of whatever, you know, I mean, we just played. And, you know, we end the half, we're up one. You know, he did all his fancy stuff.
On another Kappa shot,
and
too.
Kappa hits a huge three at the buzzer and puts us up one. And, you know, I thought for all the crappy things that happened in that game, 15-0 to start, we're behind. You know, we're in the game. We're in the game. We're in the game till the end. You know, I think there was a point with about 4 minutes to go. They got the lead back to 9, and they ran a play for Zeller to shoot a 3. I mean, whatever. I mean, they thought the game was over. Well, then we come down and we score. And now it's like, uh-oh, you know, the game's not over. Our kids persevered in that game. It was a hard loss for us. I you know, looking in their faces after the game Tuesday night, there was some dejection. I mean, they were disappointed. I was too. I mean, I thought we played really well in the game. We had a couple runs where we let them get away from us, but you know, I think for probably 30 minutes of that ball game, we played as well as we can play against a team that has arguably the best player in the state, you know, one of the top 4 teams in the state, and we played right with them and on their court. You know, there was no no deal where, oh, it was in Wahpeton and you got every call or whatever, which I'm sure Central thinks today, but whatever. But I think our kids rose to that occasion and didn't let the two runs hurt us. You know, I think they did. And, you know, I thought Jaden King was really good in the game. He led us in scoring with 15. Ethan had 12. I mean, 19 rebounds on Tuesday. I mean, 19 rebounds is a lot. And, you know, against Zeller, against their long guys, you know, they had that 6, 7, or 8, or 9, whatever, the number 3, Keach Bjor. You know, just a great job on the boards. And that's what keeps us in the game. They only get to shoot it once, and they were happy to take whatever shot they could get early. And that's how we stay in the game. You know, so I feel good about playing them again. I hope we get to play them again because that means we're probably in the tournament.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
So, you know, it'd be fun. I think there'd be a little bit of, you know, looking in the back to see, you know, we were tight with this team twice. So, you know, the kids came and played. I thought Cap was really good again, had 12 points, 3 assists. You know, Hawk had a tough night at 8 points. Hit 2 threes, but it took a bunch to get those two. Had a bunch of good looks, really. You know, I think we ran a sideline play for them, and, you know, we got wide open, and, you know, whatever reason, they don't go in that night. But, you know, he's taking the shots that we want him to take, and we're running stuff to get him the shots, and, you know, just one of those nights for him. Trey had 6, was good. Braden had 5. Riley Timian was really good in that game, I thought. Couple quick early turnovers, a couple rebounds, and just a couple buckets. Made a nice play to Ethan to start the second half, late in the clock. Shot fake, got by his guy. Ethan's guy went to him, dumped it to Ethan, and we got a bucket there to start that half. And, you know, I thought he played really well in the game. And you know, he, when you have a kid like Riley, he gets his moments, and he's coming through for us. And I thought even last night, you know, he didn't score in the game, but he did the double like he's supposed to, and was rebounding like he had to, and he's doing what he wants for this team, or what he can for this team to win. So I was really pleased with how he played Tuesday.
He did a good job of double teaming underneath and kind of forcing some jump balls too.
Yep.
So, and that is one of those plays that in the game you say to yourself, okay, this could be a momentum shifter.
Yep.
If you know, you get that jump ball, you change possession here, this could be the thing that kind of opens up the game. Now, granted, it was a back-and-forth game last night, and I don't think either team really was able to get some run to kind of take over and really grab the bull by the horns.
Right. You know, and those plays, like you said, are plays that really they're game changers. And Riley does that. He's not afraid to stick his nose in with Pay, with Zeller, and do that double. And you know, usually he's on a guy that we can, you know, we choose that guy because that we want Riley to do that. And, you know, he does his role very well.
So, all right, let's talk a little bit about where the seeding is as we come into this final, what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks of the season, week and a half of the season. We're in a weird predicament here because I think Wahpeton doesn't really control their own destiny when it comes to hosting a play-in game. Things have to happen ahead of us. Do you foresee a situation where the Huskies can host a play-in game?
Well, we have to win out if we're going to host. And we have to have some teams lose out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a win out for us would get us to 10. And then there'd be like a 8-way tie probably for 6th place. And however that shakes out, I mean, I don't know what the tiebreaker is for that big of a tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. But that's what it would have to end up being, you know, for us to maybe get the 8 or the 7. You know, we'd love to have the 8 and be able to host, you know, we have no chance at all if we don't win last night.
Yes.
So we took care of one piece of that. You know, we won't worry about Cheyenne until later today, maybe. But we took care of business, and that's what we had to do. Will it happen? I mean, we have 2 tough road games next week at Cheyenne. Cheyenne just beat Devil's Lake last night. Then we go to Devil's Lake, which, I mean, flat out, they're good. I mean, they're good. You know, and I think that, you know, through the course of the last 20 years, Devil's Lake's been a good place for us to go. You know, I mean, they've been good sometimes. And, you know, they had a lot of Mertens who were really good. And, But this is going to be a couple, 3 years where they're going to be really good, and Devil's Lake's not going to be a fun place to go. Could we beat them? Absolutely. You know, we didn't play well, you know, kind of like this Central game over Christmas break where, you know, we started off 11 field goals there. I think against Devil's Lake, we probably only had 12 or 13. Well, you got to score baskets to win, and they're going to score baskets. So,
and we're a better team than we were back then, too.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Definitely. And you know what? They're pretty darn good, too. I've you know, when we're scouting, we're seeing them, and they're shooting it really well and with confidence.
Okay. Do you think that because Devil's Lake is so far away, Grand Forks Central so far away, Red River so far away from Wahpeton, that plays any contributing factor to these outcomes?
Well, I don't think so. I think it's just the fact that Red River's good. You know? I mean, they're good, and Central's a good basketball team. They've beaten virtually everybody, maybe except for Davies this year. So, I mean, they're good.
I came into the game wondering, and I think I asked you, and I think I've asked everybody, why is this team winning games? Because I didn't, you know, you see other teams, North, for example, comes on the court, and you go, okay, well, there's Sim, and that guy's dunking 360, and Zeller can hit threes, and he's 6'100". Like, how do we, you know, you come on the court, and you can just pick out the athletes, and that's not really the case, I don't think, for Central. I figured it out last night. It's because those guys aren't afraid to shoot, and they've got shooters.
They make shots.
And, you know, the one guy we didn't mention here was Jonas, Kendall Jonas, who, number 21, who came on the court and, you know, kind of awkward in the first half. Second half in overtime, that guy just said, all right, give me the ball. I'll put it in the hole, which is great.
And he's a kid who, you know, quote-unquote three-point shooter and can't make a three until after Christmas. You know, he had 7 the other day, I think, against Red River. He played great against us last night, and not just shooting threes. He's strictly a three-point shooter. Last night, he puts a ball on the floor and gets in the lane and goes 6-6 from the free throw line. You know, they're really playing well. Dan, you know, I think throughout the course of my time here, since 2005, Central's been horrible. I mean, they just haven't been any good, and Dan stuck with those kids, and now he's got some kids that can make shots. And what would get them, you know, maybe the previous 10 years is they would have scoring droughts where, you know, they wouldn't score for 8 or 10 minutes. You know, now this team is, they're scoring every time down. You know, they're a 1.1 points per possession game. I mean, that's how they play. And, you know, that's a credit to what he's done with those kids, the shooters he has, and the confidence. You know, it helps. When you got three kids that can make threes, and you got dribble penetration like Simmers can give you, and then you got Eric Pay inside, that's a pretty good combo. And, you know, you asked me the key to the game, and I think the key to the game was we got to their bench.
Mm.
You know, I really, when we look at what had to happen in the game, we got into their bench because he really only plays 7 guys, Lund and then Jonas off the bench, and with Strandell hurt, we're into the bench to start, but Kendall Jonas just played fantastic last night. But the other guys, you know, those are good guys for us to have in the game.
So got you.
I think that was a big key, and Coach Kaveny and I talked about that, where if we can get past and get somebody else on the floor, it'll be helpful.
Get the 8th, 9th man out there. Yeah,
right.
That's important. Before I let you go, do want to mention, because this is a big win for everyone, but I look at you as the face of this, the 3-class system. We don't need to talk about it now, but I just want to say congratulations, you know, as we move into that next year.
You know, I think Ned Cluton really, you know, he's on the board, and I think some people feel like, well, he just cares about Wahpeton, and I think Josh Johnson in Valley City, well, he just cares about Valley City. And, you know, there's a lot more schools in Wahpeton and Valley City benefiting from this. And I think if you ask, you know, a team like Winemere Lidgerwood, you know, to get Kindred and Oak Grove and Castleton out of their league, I think they're very happy about that. You know, and I think there's a bunch of other teams. You know, if you're in Region 4, 4 wins region, who's going to win the region this year? Well, 4 wins is, you know, I'm pretty sure Lakota's glad next year they won't have to play 4 wins, you know, and it's funny how, you know, we're maybe the face of it with Valley maybe, but so many other teams are benefiting from it. And I think Ned really pushed, You know, when the vote happened on December 1st, you know, this notion of pumping the brakes, you know, we're moving too fast. Well, we live in North Dakota. There's nothing fast in North Dakota. You know, we still have this notion that if you have a Subway or McDonald's, you're a big town. You know, and you know, for the Bismarck representative on the board to say we need to pump the brakes, give me a break. You don't want to go. They don't want to play Watford City. Well, maybe they do because they get two wins then. They don't want to play. They don't want to drive up to Belcourt, but they want the wins that they get in Belcourt. And I mean, Ned really pushed it, and they wanted to pump the brakes on and wait for 2 years. And Ned pushed and pushed and pushed, and said, "We can do it. Let's do the work." And it happened. You know, well, where are we going to have stayed at? And there's no way we can do this. And well, now they have venues for six state tournaments instead of four. Well, it can be done. And when you have people like Ned, people like Josh, Mitch Carlson over in Lemoore, who are just pushing Patty Onenson up in Larimore, you know, they're sick and tired of getting beat by 50 from Thompson and from Grafton. And you know, they want to compete with schools they can compete with. And it's not about, you know, I think people think, well, now you're going to win all your games. Guess what? Central Cass is really good. Kindred is really good. Four wins. I'd love to play Four Wins. I looked at their roster. They're young, and they're good. And I want to play them. I think it's going to be competitive. And you know, games like last night, and games like on Tuesday night at North. That's what we want. And I think by and large, for the most part, when we play the teams in the EDC, they're not like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're 18 point halftime games and 30 point losses. And what do we get out of that? You know. And I think the competition is what we're going to get. Are there going to be some games? You got me on a roll, Zimmel.
I know.
Are there going to be some games that are maybe blowouts? I think so. But it's not going to be eight of them in a year. It's going to be – there might be one team that has a struggle. And then we have the foresight with our NDHSAA board to say we need a competition committee because – my son Austin's coaching up at Hillsboro, and he said their girls are really struggling, and now they're going to be playing us, and they're going to be playing Devil's Lake, and you know we have a committee in place that's going to say, you know, after we examine that, they got to play first, but they're going to be able to move them into a division where they can, and they might not be in the same division as the boys, and that's okay, you know, and I think a lot of forethought and a lot of foresight went into it. And I think it's a great plan, and I think the best part about it is it got the teams where they needed to be. There's some teams out west that are not happy. Bishop Ryan stayed in Class B. You know, they have under 100 kids, but they are in Minot. You know, and Minot's a pretty big metropolitan area. So, you know, I think the competition committee, again, in a couple of years, will be able to take care of that. If they're dominating that Region 6 up there, they're gonna take care of it. So I think they did everything they had to do. I think it's a good plan, and I think it's gonna be great for our kids, and it's gonna be great for us to be competitive night in and night out. And that's what I want. I like I said at Tuesday night at North, our kids did everything they could, and they're looking like, what do we got to do, you know? So I'm happy with that. I really am, and I'm proud of Ned, our principal and our board member from Wahpeton for not sitting back and saying, all right, we got it, so it'll be 2 years. Because then some ding-dong will go and switch up something in 2 years and, you know.
Push another 2 years, yeah.
And then, you know, it's always something. So I'm really pleased. I know I don't – I mean, I'm not – we got to wait. You know, in a month I'll be really thinking about it hard, but right now we're still in the EDC, and wouldn't it be cool to win all our last games?
It'd be really cool. It'd be real swell, Coach. Head coach of the Wahpeton Huskies, Jeff Ralph. We're going to come back with Brian Watson of the Lady Huskies after the break. You're listening to the Giant Sports Show. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
To the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KDMW.
Welcome back. Andrew Zimmel in studio with you. Giant Sports Show on KBMW. Talking to head coach Brian Watson with the Lady Huskies. A win yesterday in Grand Forks, 67-49 over the Knights. And, coach, it's always nice to come back from that two-hour road trip with a win.
It's always nice to get a win no matter what. But going up there, I'll gladly take that bus ride home. So it was good.
Well, let's talk about it because I didn't get a scouting report for Central before the game tipped off. And I was looking at the scoreboard, doing the scoreboard updates during the boys' game. And it was a six-point game, and then it was an eight-point game. And all of a sudden, it was almost a 20-point game. And you have a knack. Or I was telling you off air, your team has a knack of doing that where it's close, it's back and forth. And all of a sudden, you put the pedal to the metal and just jump off on teams.
We don't get off to good starts sometimes. That first 5 minutes, I don't know what the score was, but we were down. I think it was maybe like 8-2 or something like that for a while, and it took us a bit to get going. I felt like we were out of sync and just kind of not sleepwalking, but you know, not real crisp and sharp, and you know, our movements were a little sluggish and things like that, and that could be from the bus ride up, you know. But we shook it off and had a good second part of that first half, able to force them into some turnovers. We were able to you know, go deep into our offense and get some good shots that are good for us. We were able to score out of our defense, and that helped us build a lead. And we needed that lead because they played pretty much even with us in the second half. I think we were 1 point better in the second half. And it's a good win for us. It's a tough place to go and play. It's just kind of a weird atmosphere outside of the bus trip and things like that. The way the building is, and I don't know. It's been a difficult place for us to go and play a good, clean game. And I think Jeff would attest to that for his team. It's a tough place to go and play on the road, no matter what the records are for the teams. And for us to go up there and get a win, I'm pretty happy with that.
I think Coach Ralph's team made 4 shots when they went up there, so I think he would agree.
The two gyms up there in Grand Forks, I think they're haunted. You know, we don't play well at Central. We have, at least me in 13 years, I don't have a win in Red River. Outside of two games up there, we had a playoff game where we lost by 4, and we had a game recently here where we lost by 7. Outside of those two games, it's been 25 plus points up there at Red River. So, and that's when we were good. That's when Tyler Irwin.
You guys are good now.
Well, come on now. But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We've had good teams that go up to those gyms and just don't play well. And hey, it's home court advantage. It's EDC. It's a road game. Whatever. But I don't know. To go up there and just get a win, I will take that any day of the week.
I blame the bus rides. Coach Ralph didn't buy it.
We can do that, but, you know, bus rides are always better when you win.
So. I agree. All right, so let's talk about your scores because you had 3 girls in double figures last night. It was Woods, it was Max, it was Bonches, and that kind of has been the way that it has gone this year for you, where you get 3 players in double figures and then the rest of the team gets into the scoring column. It feels like I'm a broken record because every week we talk about, oh, how nice it is to have multiple scoring options here. But what does it mean to have like somebody like Max, somebody like Bonches who start the game for you that come out and score points like that?
I think it makes us difficult to defend. You know, I think when teams scout us, they're like, well, we got to take away Woods and we got to take away Kumo. And then we have to worry a little bit about Bonches. You know what I mean? But we have other girls like Amaya had a really nice game last night. She had 14 points. Scout led us with 16, and then Emma had 12. So it's just, I think it's difficult for teams to say we're going to focus on one player and try and take that player away. And I think for us, you know, now that we're deep into the season here, and I think girls are starting to understand their roles and understand how we can use the offense and, you know, what's a good shot for us. I think we're at that point where we're starting to understand the game a little bit better, and it makes us a better team. And I think you can see that we are team-oriented. We're not just one player focused where we need to get the ball to this player. And our scoring proves that, where we have, you know, multiple girls in double figures. It's not always the same girl that leads us. And last night was proof of that. You know, Maya getting into double figures and being one of the top scorers proves that we have multiple girls who can score. Kumo had 9. Latea had 8. and Hallie Miller had four, and we got production from, you know, all of our girls who spend a lot of time on the floor, and for us, I think that's good. Abby Bronson had a good game, scored 2 points, but good time on the floor, and that's what we need. It's not all about scoring points. It's about being on the floor, being productive on the floor, whether you score or not. And we need a team effort, and we got that last night.
Riddle me this, because you talked about Irwin and those quote good teams that you had when going to Red River and stuff. As a head coach, what is easier for you when you have that player who can just, okay, I know I can put the ball in her hands and she can go get me a bucket, or a situation like you have now where you have multiple players who might not be as athletically gifted but can also score in chunks?
I think for a coach to have multiple players that can score is better. Now, having a player like Tyler Irwin is very convenient.
I didn't
tell
say
you
better.
That.
I said easier.
Well, I'd say easier. Yeah, okay. Having multiple players is easier.
Okay.
But having a player who I know I can get the ball to is very convenient. But sometimes that can be a detriment because that's the only option that you have. Okay, and I think when we had Tyler, we did have some other options, but not as many as we have now. So I'll take a little bit of a lot to be better rather than just a bunch of one thing to be good. And, you know, for us, it makes us dangerous. I think it makes us a team that, and I like to be that type of team, a team that, you know, some of these teams that are above us, I think they want to avoid us. You know, come playoff time, and if we can get into the EDC tournament, I think we might be a team that teams like, I don't know if I want to play Wahpeton. And I like that. And I want to be that kind of team, whether that's they think, you know, because of our multiple scores, or we're just a team that, you know, we're going to go in there, we're not going to quit, we're not going to let you just roll over us, we're going to play hard nose from start to finish, and we're going to give you our best game.
You said if we can make it into the tournament. I feel like that's like almost a no-brainer at this point, but you still think, even with potentially hosting a play-in game, that you think it's going to be a dogfight?
There's nothing's ever given in sports. I mean, you have to play every game as if it's your first game or your only game. Now, we use the regular season and EDC to prepare for a tournament time. And if you don't finish in the top four, at least this year, if you don't finish in the top four, you have to play a play-in game. Well, that play-in game is the only game of the season. Because if you lose that game, no matter where it is, home or on the road, you're done. And I do not want to be done on the 25th of February. I don't. And we're probably going to have to play on the 25th of February. Hopefully that's going to be at home. It looks like it will right now. But for us, that is the only game of the season. And we need to do everything we can to prepare and win that game to give us a chance to get in the EDC tournament. That will help us, you know, try and reach our goal. Our goal is to win a state tournament. You can't do that if you're not in the EDC tournament.
How do you feel right now? We talk about, like, okay, playing your best basketball in February. Do you feel like we're playing the best basketball right now?
We're playing better basketball.
Okay.
We're starting to understand our roles a little bit better. We're starting to, you know, have a better grasp of the offense, of what we need to do in the offense and who needs to be where and things like that, and how we can score out of our offense depending on what teams are doing defensively. So I think we're playing better basketball. I think we can get better. There's some things that we certainly have to improve on. We've had two wins here this week, and we did not rebound very well. And it's been a sore subject the entire season. And we're able to get by with not rebounding well in the last two games, we've been able to come up with some victories. But if we don't rebound well on Tuesday, it's not going to go well.
Let's talk about the defense, because I know that's kind of a pride for you, getting your teams to play defense. Held the Knights under 70 points last night. That's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the last two games, our defense has been fairly good, we'll say. Okay. You know, the scores and shooting percentages have been down for the two teams that we played. You know, we held Central under 50 points or whatever, and then we held North to a 17% shooting night. And North is a really good shooting team. They shoot the three ball very well. They shot 30 plus three-pointers in our game. But we held them to a 17% shooting night. And for us, that's good. We need to take away what teams do well. And if we can do that, I think we can be successful. You know, for Central, they have Lauren Reardon, who's their best player. We held her to not being their leading scorer. So, like I said, we need to figure out, you know, what do we want to do defensively and who do we want to take away. And if we can go out there and execute those things, I think we can find some success. You know, we're going to play Cheyenne, and they've got some size with Metcalf. They've got some players who can score on the perimeter. So we've got to try and take away – you know, that game, and we've got to keep them off the glass. They rebound it really well, and they're going to come after us defensively. So we just have to be prepared, and we have to execute. And this is a game that, you know, if we get into the EDC tournament, this is a team that we might see again, and that might really, really mean something. So we got to figure out, you know, what is it that we need to do? Let's see if we can do it well in this game. And if we don't do it well in this game, then let's make sure if we see him again, then we fix those things and see if we can get a win that second time.
Cheyenne's my favorite team to play. I don't know why. It just feels like that's the team that has the best rivalry with you guys. I don't know. Do you don't agree?
Evidently, you don't coach, but
I don't coach. I do not coach. I enjoy watching them play, and I enjoy watching you guys play them. So
I don't know. One of the top enrollments in the state, and I don't necessarily. I'll play anybody.
Maybe that's why.
Don't get me wrong. I'll play anybody. But it's a difficult task. You know, the schools like that, they have a lot of size. They have a large pool of girls to pick from. And it is what it is. You know, we'll go in there and we'll try and give it our best go. But I think I do. I feel like if things kind of shake out the way they sort of might or should or whatever, one of those West Fargo schools might be another one that we see again. And we just have to figure out a way to dig down and kind of get under their skin a little bit and not go away. And then they turn around and go, hey, what's going on here? Why come these guys won't go away? Why come we can't put them away? And then they start doubting themselves. And then we hang around long enough and make shots and make a couple four-point plays and win the game.
A little art of war happening
well,
here.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way that it has to work, you know. We're not a team. I don't think, unless we're playing extremely well and everything is clicking, that we're able to go to some of those top teams and just roll them out of the gym. It's a battle. It has to be a game and maybe a little bit of a chess match between players on the floor, coaches or whatever. And if we can be in that type of game, it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and it's even better when you come out on top. But to be competitive, and I always tell our girls, you know, I don't care if we win the game. I don't want to lose the game, but I don't care if we win the game. But I just want to have the opportunity to win the game. And if we play well, I think that no matter who the opponent is in the EDC, we can give ourselves that opportunity, and we have to go out there and try and take it.
Head coach of the Wabin Lady Huskies, Brian Watson. Coach, thanks for coming in.
You bet. I appreciate it.
You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Welcome back, Breckenridge Cowboy fans. We're talking to head coach Jordan Christensen as his team plays Western Border. Can this interview earlier this week for you. Enjoy. All right, coming back, you're listening to the Giant Sports Show on KBMW. And in studio with me right now, head coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys, Jordan Christensen, talking to me about another pretty solid week. You know, got a win on Tuesday. Tough game on Thursday. Let's start on Tuesday. How are you guys feeling?
Tuesday, we got a big win. It was awesome. We played Hillcrest. Our guys were fired up, and the whole gym was rocking. We had our bench energy was off the charts. They were doing all sorts of celebrations and just having a lot of fun. But our guys finally came and guarded. We played defense for a full 36 minutes, which we were tough. We didn't let them. We limited their second chance points, which we've been working on all year. And we've been saying this acronym RED, rebounding, energy, and defense. It's going to win us games. And it did on Tuesday night. And we did all those things really well and ended up, I didn't think we'd win a game 57-51 all year, honestly, with how our scores were going early in the year. I thought we'd have to win shootouts. But that was a little bit lower scoring, and it was a good, tough win for our guys.
Well, I think we talked about it before in the season. We were saying that, you know, it's easy to kind of play offense. It's easy not to play defense. It's easy not to rebound. And there was a bunch of scores where it was 80-point games, 70-point games. So to win a game that's kind of knockdown, draw out, defense, rebounding, that has to feel pretty good as a head coach.
It feels really good, and it was a lot of fun in that gym. Just there's K through fourth grade, little kids basketball at halftime, and it was parents' night, so the gym was packed. The girls were there, did a great job of supporting us, and we just had so many guys step up and make plays. Between like Alex and Cam guarding the ball, those two just hounded their two best ball handlers and made life hard for them. And then Landon controlled the paint, and Damon Smith hit a couple of huge threes in the second half, and Jackson Riggs did his thing, got downhill, and just put the ball in the hoop, and we needed it. We really needed that win, and it was great for our guys.
What does it feel like on parents' night? Because that was always, I don't know, not a weird night for me, but I never was an athlete who liked to have the parents come down the field. I like to just focus on the game, play the game, stuff like that. What, as a head coach and then also being a player, what does parents' night mean to you?
Well, it's a good thing, but we do it a little bit different. We have our kids write cards the night before. We give them cards, and they give them to their parents, and we don't bring anybody down on the floor. They just stand up in their seats, and we do it pretty quickly, but it is good to show some appreciation for these parents put in a lot of time, especially the ones that help with the booster club, like Jen Sanchez and Brian Bernardes and Lindsay Smith and Melissa Maminga. They like have helped a lot with our booster club, and Josh Kunkel. They help us so much. I mean, we get food after games on the road, and all our fundraising stuff, so we can take charter buses the last two games of the year because we go to East Grand and we go to Monoman, long trips. It's just a lot of hard work behind the scenes that nobody really sees. And the kids, I hope they appreciate it, but I don't think they realize what they have until a couple years later when they're done with high school sports. I'm like, wow, we really had it good.
See, like that layup I just gave you, I was like, all right, let's talk booster club here, make the parents happy at home. I don't blame it. The booster club does a ton of good stuff all over. We have very good, very active parents in both communities helping everybody out.
Oh, yeah, and it's great, and it's like it was fun to have all of them in the gym and all the kids. We actually got a sweep, only the third time I think we've gotten a sweep all year, which was really cool on Parents' Night. So everybody got a W, the C-squad, B-squad, all played well, and then the varsity finished it off. And then moving into Thursday, we had what I would call the best JV game I've seen in a long time. It was fun. Like, our JV guys they were down, I think, 12 in the first half and just kept battling. And then it ended on a buzzer beater. Hit a buzzer beater three. We were down 50. All our varsity guys are standing in the corner waiting to warm up. But it was 54-52, and they missed the front end of the 1-1. We take about three dribbles. Aiden Sanchez banks one in, and the varsity guys, his brother and cousin, are out there running on the floor. It's just kind of a cool scene for the JV game, and it was – good for those kids to get that win, because Barnesville's a tough team.
I always like the JV games that are close at the end, because, you know, the parents are kind of milling in. You got people who are coming to catch the end of it. So for it to – you sit down in your seat, and it's a 50 seconds left on the clock, and you're like, oh, this is a – I might catch a last-second game winner here. And then you do, and it just – it's nice. I like those situations.
And that was fun. It was brought a lot of energy in the gym right away, and I thought we'd feed off of it a little bit more, but I honestly think we're a little bit tired. We spent a lot of energy on Tuesday night to get that win. That was a big game for our guys to win. There's the second or third best team in our section right now, in our half of the section, and Tuesday was a big one, and just the energy level wasn't quite there on Thursday night or yet last night.
Is it hard to kind of get those batteries recharged? You know what I mean? Like, when you have an emotional win on a Tuesday night, especially on a Thursday. I always had Friday night games where it's kind of hit and miss. Sometimes you get a kid that's a Friday night game, they're really up for it, and sometimes you get a Friday night game where, hey, I had an algebra test earlier this week. I studied really hard Thursday night, and now I'm dead for Friday night's game. It's hard to recharge those batteries.
I think I would have liked to play that on a Friday. Just selfishly, I think one more day would have done us some good, just to get our legs back under us and energy level back up. But it's something we're going to have to learn how to do going into section playoffs, because we'll play hopefully on a Thursday night and then a Saturday night, and you got to put two good games back together in 3 days. And it's a good test for us to learn a little bit about ourselves, and hopefully we can come back and respond on Saturday against Border West, which was Wheaton, and it's Wheaton, CGB, and Norcross, and all. It's a I think it's 6 or 7 different towns.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, it's Border West is a lot easier to say, I think. And that game is, we're recording this Friday. We're playing it tonight, Saturday night, 6:30. Saturday game's got to feel pretty good. I think this is, what, the second or third game you've played on Saturday?
This is one, two. This will be the third one I think we've played on a Saturday this year. And our kids seem to play pretty well on Saturday games, honestly. We'd show up for them. Hopefully we can. I think we're 1-1 in Saturday games. Hopefully we can make that. Hold on. I might be talking. Nope. I got the Underwood game mixed up. We've only had 3. We're 0-2. I had the Underwood game in my head as a Saturday, but that was a weird Christmas break one.
Got you. So why are there Saturday games? I know we have Coach Freddie in here during football season, and does he help? I imagine he makes the schedules as the AD.
He makes the schedules as the AD, but there's only so many days you can play. We can't play on Wednesdays. Can't play on Sundays, and avoiding back-to-backs is honestly the reason why we play on a Saturday. Like, it would be tough to have to come in and go to Wheaton tonight, which I'm glad we're going to scout them tonight. I think my brother Jonah and I are going down there because they're playing Battle Lake, who's another section team, and hopefully they're a little bit tired on Saturday night at about 6:30, and we can give him a run.
Now, what does the scouting notes look like for you? Because you've never brought him in for me. I'd love to see what a Jordan Christensen scouting report looks like.
I usually do a packet, but a lot of it is done on a shot chart. So I do a shot chart and where they're getting their shots, if it's off the dribble. It's more a defensive scouting report than like where we're going to do what we try to do offensively no matter what. I mean, if they play zone, I'll take some notes on that. But a lot of it is just more notes on their action and what their players like to do, just so we can get that info to our guys. And we gotta improve in that area where we're taking the scouting report and putting it into use, because we're still closing out to guys we shouldn't close out to, or closing out short to shooters, and just fixing those things come March will be huge.
Gotcha. You're a pretty defensive guy. I get it. I play the defensive side of the ball. I like it.
Our numbers aren't showing that, but we do spend a lot of time on defense.
Well, that's great. Coach Jordan Christensen in talking to me. Coach, are we missing anything?
Nope. It should be a fun one. Hopefully our guys are ready to go tomorrow, and it's a big section game. It's a huge one for the QRF. Hopefully we get some fans traveling down there, and they're a very good basketball team, but it's a game we can compete in for sure.
Border West, Saturday night, 6:30. Coach, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Giant Sports Show on KBMW. That is going to do it for us at the Giant Sports Show. Remember that Breckenridge plays later this afternoon. If you want to catch that game, go out to Wheaton, I believe, for a 6:30 tip-off. And go to kbmwnews.com for a podcast version of the show, as well as a updated sports schedule. We'll come back with more of your favorite country songs right here on The Voice of the Valley, KBMW.